This is Ariana Hall, and welcome to Sweet Treats in the Valley, where we share the sweetest treats in the valley with you, our listeners. And we're here today with the owner, Martin Ken, of Helados Pops Ice Cream in San Fernando, and Drew Nguyen, the owner of Boba Mai Tea in Northridge, California. Hi, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
No problem. So, can you guys give me a little bit of a background on the names of your stores?
Drew, you want to go first?
Okay. I guess when we decided there, it's basically two owners, basically, me and another person. So we decided a name, and what better way than to combine boba with tea. So we had to something to like, incorporate boba and tea, so it was like, well, boba my tea. Thinking as a customer, as boba my tea. That's how we started with that.
Awesome. And for us, you know, we feature a lot of exotic fruits from Latin America, and you know, helados is a proper term for ice cream. You know, in our community, sometimes the word nieve is using to describe ice cream, but the proper Spanish word is helados. So helados pops. Pops is, you know, grandpa, dad, and all our ice cream is made by grandpa himself. And so that's what we got. That's how we came up with helados pops and or pops ice cream. It's very versatile in both ways.
Okay, so I noticed for your ice cream shop that there aren't usual flavors that are in most ice cream shops. You know, it's not normal. There's different ones that kind of show that you guys are different from other ice cream shops. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we do both traditional flavors and going back to exotic flavors. And I would say tropical is probably the proper term, although a lot of our fruits come from Latin America. That's where our distributors, we rely on distributors to bring in these organic fruits for us from out of the country. But it really is on availability. They grow in numerous different countries. It's hard to pinpoint one fruit from one country. We feature flavors like lucuma from Peru and, you know, maracuya, which is also known as passion fruit. And again, these fruits, because they grow in different regions, they have different names in different countries.
That's great. So do you feel like because your ice creams are from, their flavors from exotic places, do you feel that it's hard to obtain the ingredients for these ice creams?
No, so far no, we haven't had any issues. We are a mom and pop business, so I think it would be more of a challenge if we, let's say, one day have the opportunity to mass produce, then you know, then we'll see at that point whether or not it's a challenge to do that. And before we venture into something like that, then we. But as of now, being a mom and pop ice cream parlor, we don't have any issues now.
Okay, so back to Drew. I had a question about how you come up with the flavors for your boba.
Okay, so I guess it begins with going to, like what we always do, go try different places. Like we, every place we go, we look at the interesting desserts. And then we put together preliminary flavor, and then we allow people to try. We get feedback on that. And so basically, before we put out on the market, everyone has to go through a series of tests. Like for example, our chocolate smoothie from Kit Kat, Snickers to Reese's. It's blended, a whole chocolate bar blended in. Even the Ferrero, our inspiration for that is actually outside of the country. It was on a trip to Canada where we discovered that, wow, this was interesting that we want to bring back to Southern California. So if you were like for a chocolate smoothie, you won't find that anywhere in the, except at us, because that's one of our inspiration. A lot of the other times, it's just basically everyday thing where we either go out to eat or drink, and that's a spark and flavor that we're looking for. So we come back and we test it out. That's how most of our drinks come from.
So do you, when you go out and you find these different drinks at these different places, do you try to find the recipes for these, or do you just go by what you feel?
Okay. Well, it's basically by what we taste. We try not to mimic or copy anybody because, one, we want to be unique. So that's where it comes in, is taking that certain flavor, that taste, and how can we put a nice spin on it so that it appeals to everybody? So that's the difficult part. But a lot of it is we would begin by trial and error, like everything else. We taste it, we adjust it, and until we find, okay, this is it, then we release it. So roughly about every 2 months or so, we come up with a different drink. Like right now, our upcoming thing is we're trying to incorporate a mason jar, a cool glass mason jar with like cucumber or some sort of refresher. It's coming out soon. It's really cool. So what I think is we try to appeal to everybody, but that's going to be so cool that you can Instagram the different size mason jar. You can even tag the mason jar with a Sharpie. So it's going to be really cool. It should be out soon within the next month or two.
Okay, yeah. That's great. So, Martin, I wanted to know how the ice cream in your shop is made.
Well, there's not too much I can say, but no, but I'm kidding. Well, it's made with all natural ingredients for sure. You know, exactly, using different fruits, of course. And to describe in a few sentences, we don't use any measured, to say, recipes to make our ice cream, because we're doing 100% all natural fruit, real fruits. You know, no batch should ever be the same. All fruits taste differently, whether or not from a ripened state to where a little greener, they're all changed. So you can't use a certain number of strawberries or a certain pound, nothing measured. Every batch is unique. It's all different because we don't know if it's going to have 40, 50, or 60 strawberries. Everything is different. And the same thing goes from a watermelon. The moment you cut it in, you cut into a watermelon, it's different. So our process of making ice cream starts with there, you know, each batch being unique, and it's definitely homemade, handcrafted at maximum, you know, in every way. So we have the luxury of hand-picking our fruits before we make the ice cream. It's a lot of peeling and cutting, and some fruits a little easier than others. Peeling a banana is easier than, you know, peeling a, you know, a, let's just say a mango, right? Mm-hmm. There's a difference there. And also with fruits like tamarind, it has a hard shell around it. It has the fibers that hold the fruit, the pulp together, and then there's a seed encased around it too in the middle of it. So everything is, you know, done by hand. And from there, and again in small batches, that's the only way you can really control the flavor. If you make a huge commercial batch of ice cream, then it's not so easy. You can manipulate it by adding or you know, taking out certain ingredients.
How often are the ice creams made? Do you make them daily, weekly?
Based on consumption, really, we're making ice cream almost all week. You know. Okay. We alternate the flavors. They kind of alternate which ones are, you know, finishing faster. Some finish a little faster than others. But I would say we make ice cream maybe every 2 days, if not every day. And we don't use any preservatives, so we have to make them more often, more frequently. Again, in small batches. It runs out. We simply go in the back and make another batch.
Okay. And how many people do you usually have making the ice creams?
One person.
Wow.
One person. And that person is Grandpa Pops. He's okay. My father-in-law and business partner. And I think I think we might be the only ice cream parlor, I don't know, California, where you literally have Grandpa in the back making ice cream. Several times we have, you know, people come by and, hey, do you want to see ice cream being made? And we'll have some people peek in the back and look at Pops making ice cream. I mean, you know, I don't think you're going to find that anywhere else.
Yeah. So is it like his homemade recipes, or does he just kind of
definitely
go by?
They are his recipes, and but to really make these flavors that we make, the exotic fruits, we have to have some memory of what it tastes like in his natural habitat, like right off the tree type of thing, and so it goes back to his him growing up in El Salvador. I grew up in Belize. We have the same similar fruits. We all know what it tastes like naturally, so we can reproduce this flavor. If I give you, for example, lucuma, you don't even know what lucuma is supposed to taste like. So how can you recreate that ice cream?
Yes.
You know, in order to recreate the ice cream, you have to know what these fruits taste like. Yeah. That's why I think you don't see more or anybody doing the flavors we do. Everybody knows what chocolate tastes like, so you'll see a lot of chocolate, strawberries, you know, that type of ice cream out in the market right now.
That's such a great background. It's good to hear. So back to Drew from Boba My Tea. I wanted to ask you how boba is made, the actual boba balls. and how your drinks are made as well.
Okay, so the actual recipe we can't say, but for basically boba, it comes in packages. It's like a starch just like pasta. So you boil a pot of water, and basically that's how it begins. The flavoring, we create our own flavoring, so that I can't say, but you can actually taste the honey in it. It's just what we have, honey boba. The drinks, it took us a long time, but we develop recipes, so it's easier for our staff, and our staff are basically a majority are college kids, so it's basically everyone when you walk in, you feel like, hey, these are my peers. And so recipes are crafted and easy to train. So the drinks are easily made, so you can actually make it at home yourself if you have the ingredients that we have.
Okay, and going back to you saying how your employees are college students, yeah. I did realize that, and I did notice the kind of environment that you guys hold up. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. So what environment exactly were you guys shooting for?
Okay. So our other owner, he's a Pierce alumni. So that's where he wants to bring the college community in, that we're located right beside CSUN. So one way of doing that is to create a fun boba. It's supposed to be fun. So when you walk in and say, hey, these are like my peers. So all our staff, we try to, as much as we can, have a variety of types of employees, age range. But majority of our age range where we're hiring is college kids. We have a few older staff in the back helping making the prep work. So, and as decoration-wise, we try to make it, how can you create an environment where it's fun to walk in and you can easily sit and study? So we try to experiment a little from music to a color scheme, and it seems to work out. We have an outdoor patio, one of the few around where you actually rooftop patio. You can actually get a nice view of the city and the cars at night with some lighting on a summer night. So it's pretty cool.
That's great. So what are some of your most popular drinks?
Okay. We actually have a consistent top four. Basically, the first one would be a cookie and cream frap. Then you have a taro smoothie with its variation of either taro bits in there. And then we have Thai tea, and then Thai tea smoothie. And we have our popular Coco Mi Mango. It's a coconut drink. They're all very tasty. It's consistently those top five. Our milk teas are also popular. You can also handcraft your individual drinks. Basically, you can pick your flavors. You choose as a tea, a slush, or a smoothie, and then our employee makes it for you. And then if you happen to not like your drink, just we gladly redo it for you. That's simple as that. So we try to keep as price, value, and customer satisfaction.
That's great. So back to Martin. I had a couple questions about how you promote your ice creams, because we did speak about how your flavors are more exotic, more from the Caribbean and different places that you're familiar with, but because a lot of people aren't familiar with them, do you feel like, you know, there's a harder process to promote them at all?
No, definitely. I'm actually glad you asked this question, because a lot with the, what I call the Instagram generation, you know, it's kind of, it's not what something tastes like, I believe, it's more of what it looks like. You know, we see the foodie world is huge right now. So with that said, when I first started using Instagram, Facebook, with, you know, social media to promote the ice cream, you know, I noticed that you wouldn't get as many likes as you would like based on a simple scoop of ice cream in a cup. You know, I think people want to see tons of fruity pebbles and syrups on top of it, which I believe masks the quality of the product. You know, we try to make our ice cream at a standard where you don't want to put any toppings on it, because you would ruin it. You know, it's made with, you know, going back to that when you asked about ingredients, I mean, it's made with love. That is the most important ingredient you can put into anything. You know, it's like mom's making food for you. You know, it has that quality there. So with that said, so I went back to my roots, you know, growing back in the Caribbean, in Belize, and I try to say, how can I make this ice cream look good without putting tons of toppings on it and, you know, and colorful stuff on it? So I know how to crack a coconut in half. That's what I grew up doing, you know, literally. And so I went in the back one day and I had some food bloggers visiting the shop, and, you know, they loved the quality of the ice cream, but we were struggling. How can we depict this and make it look cool and grab a lot of viewers' attention? So I cracked the coconut in half and I started serving ice cream and started making coconut sundaes. So they're real coconuts. We buy them in small quantities here and there. And like I said, it's a small operation. So we go to the store and we hand pick some coconuts in the shape that I want and crack them in half and do coconut sundaes. Then from there, I took it to pineapples. So we cut pineapples in half, we core them, we freeze the pineapples, and we make pineapple sundaes. And so it adds to us being natural, organic, and kind of sticks to the whole Caribbean tropical theme of the flavors that we do. So that got a lot more attention. You know, it was, you know, reposted on really big Instagram accounts like Donuts, Cookies, and Ice Cream, Infatuation, Los Angeles. So yeah, that tend to help a lot.
That's great. So what are some of your more popular flavors?
Interestingly, the best seller is not even an ice cream that I like, but it's walnut. You know, it's by far, it does really good. Our walnut is quite amazing. I've had so many great compliments on that ice cream. But the strawberry, it is very, very popular because, I think our generation doesn't really know what a strawberry ice cream is supposed to taste like. We don't do anything special. We just do it as it was intended. Now, exotic flavors, the lucuma is one of our best sellers and also probably the most exotic flavor we have. And the fruit looks kind of like an orange avocado, I would say, the same texture almost. And it's native to Peru and also grows in the Philippines, Laos, and Vietnam now. But it was first discovered in the 1500s in the Andean valleys. We do soursop, which is known as it's in the pawpaw family, so it's also known as the Brazilian pawpaw, the guanabana in Spanish, or the guayabano in the Philippines. Again, this fruit grows all over, you know, tropical parts of Africa, the Caribbean, Latin America, and even Asia. So it is more related to the cherimoya fruit. So lots of different ways. And if you research them, they're called different names. So if I leave something out, you know, it's good to try them because in your culture, if you're from, you know, out of the United States, you'll know it as something else most likely. And so so soursop, lucuma, the passion fruit is great. And also we do a couple more like mame, which is very popular in Cuban cuisines and in Mexico. Things like that. And again, these fruits are brought in frozen and 100% organic and all natural.
Great. So I also noticed that you have a vegan selection at your store. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So vegan is pretty much saying no milk, right? And so it is a water-based ice cream, also known as a sorbet. And again, because of marketing, you know, the term dairy-free and vegan is simply a sorbet, which what it was for many, many years. So it's nothing new. It's just all natural fruits, again, with a water base instead of a milk-based ice cream. And then these were also known as Italian ices before, too, to a certain extent.
Okay, that's great to hear. Again, this is Ariana Hall with Sweet Treats in the Valley, and I'm here with the owner, Martin Ken, from Helados Pops Ice Cream in San Fernando, California. And Drew Nguyen, and the owner of Boba My Tea in Northridge, California. You can find both of these places here in the valley. So I can ask a few questions about your process of opening your store. Anyone can go first.
Martin, go first.
All right, well, ours is pretty simple. It was just Grandpa's recipes. We've had family and friends for a long time say, hey, you know, you guys should do something with this. You guys should do something with this. And, you know, Grandpa's getting a little older, and he used to have a shop by himself. But, you know, like many small businesses during the recession that started in 2008, he ended up losing his business, losing everything. So we thought it was a good time for my wife and I to invest in the future of not only your family, but taking care of our parents as we move forward. And so and it was a great product. It really is. So we renovated a 20-year-old beauty salon. It took about 6 months learning how to start a business. Was, you know, I have a medical background and my wife works at a law firm, so there is no business experience, but we managed and we did it.
That's great. And what about you?
For us, we wanted to bring great tasting boba to the valley, actually, and we had a theme in mind, and what perfect place is right beside CSUN on a rooftop. There, you can't ask for any more than that. Basically, it's hard to find good boba in the valley. You have to go quite far.
True.
So we have to, and we want to be something that's inspirational. We want to be on the cutting edge of things. So every time, every month or two, we try to come up with something new that no one has. So when you walk into our shop, in a couple of months, you'll find, oh, they have something new. So that was our purpose, is to constantly coming up with something new and trendy.
That's such a great thing to hear. So we are here again with the owner of Boba My Tea and the owner of Helados Pops. Stop by anytime and get yourself a boba or an ice cream. This is Ariana Hall with KPCRadio.com.